See, Councilmember. Yes.
All right. And actually, before we get started, excuse me if I get your titles wrong. I know we switch around sometimes, so feel free to correct me anytime if I get your title wrong. However, I'll call this meeting to order, Public Safety Committee meeting. My name is Wayman Furman. I'm the mayor of the city of Indio. I'll be chairing this meeting. Today's date is Monday, September 12th, 2022. And pursuant to Assembly Bill 361, we're still able to have this meeting via Zoom. If you want to participate in the public, all the instructions are on the agenda. And could I have a roll call, please?
Yes, I'll start with the City of Blythe. City of Cathedral City.
Here.
City of Coachella. City of Desert Hot Springs. City of Indian Wells.
Greg Sanders, present.
City of Indio. City
I
of
am
Indio.
sorry, I'm present.
That's okay. Good. It's a Monday. Oh, it's okay. City of La Quinta.
Present.
City of Palm Desert.
Present.
City of Palm Springs.
Present.
City of Rancho Mirage.
Here.
And Agua Caliente.
Present.
And County of Riverside. Chair, you have a quorum.
Great, thank you. Our next item is a pledge. And if I could ask Mr. Prequico, if he could lead us in the pledge of the flag.
Hey, actually, I'm kind of sick, so.
Oh, okay. No worries. I'll go ahead and lead it in your behalf, sir. All righty. You get well.
Thank
All
you.
right. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance,
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Yeah, I know there's a little cold bug going around, so we got to get everybody well. Okay. The next item is, today is September 12th, and it's the day after 9/11, which we all recognized our first responders and the folks who perished in that act of terrorism against our country. But it's also a time where we are still mourning some other folks who we lost in our community. So we like to recognize these individuals at our meeting, and I have a list of folks we want to recognize. August 26, 2021 was the day we lost Corporal Hunter Lopez and 12 other soldiers in Afghanistan. And we also lost 6 years ago in October, two Palm Springs police officers, Officer Gil Vega and Officer Leslie Zarebny. And 10 years ago, we lost Cathedral City's Suresh Krosh, a Army Chief Warrant Vet officer, and a Black Hawk helicopter accident in Afghanistan. And like I mentioned earlier, it's the day after 9/11. So I'd like to ask everyone to join us in a moment of silence as we recognize these heroes and folks who were defending our country and defending our families. Thank you. I also like to thank all the cities and all the folks who recognized everyone for the anniversary of 9/11, and also for the cities of La Quinta and Indio, and all the folks who came together for the vigil for the 1 year anniversary of Hunter Lopez. And I also like to recognize Lance Corporal Salvador Luli, who survived that attack, who's still recovering. However, he's here with us. So we also want to thank him for his services. So we'll move on to the next item. And I also like to recognize our supervisor, Manuel Perez, who just joined us. Good morning, Supervisor.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Chairman and everyone else. It's been a while since I've been in this committee. I thought I'd join in. See all your faces and hear the conversation, especially on community policing. I'm looking forward to that conversation.
Great. Thank you for joining us, Supervisor.
Thank you.
I'm going to be on my best behavior now. All right. The next item is public comments on agenda items. Do we have any public comments?
Chair, we do have a hand raised.
Yes, good morning. My name is Brad Anderson. I currently live in the city of Rancho Mirage, and I would like to request that possibly item 8B and 9B, if I could address those after the when the committee is considering those items.
Well, Mr. Anderson, on the agenda, it's a moment to address them now. However, if we have this, it is a discussion item, so I do not have an issue with that. So once we get to those items, if you'd like to chime in, I have no issue with that. So do you have
that'd any, be great.
Do you have any other
just non-agenda when that comes available, but I appreciate your consideration for this. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, sir. Do we have any further comments?
We do not, Chair.
Okay. So we'll move on to Chair, committee members, and CVAC staff. Do we have any committee members who have any updates from their cities or anything that's going on they would like to share? It's been a while since we met, so I know we got something going on out there. So we have a hand raised, Councilmember Cantania.
Yes, in the city of Palm Desert, I've seen that our residents are taking advantage of the program where there's a partnership with the city. I believe it's a $500 credit towards a security system. And mm-hmm. that way it's helped with resolving other matters. So I'm very happy to have that moving forward. Additionally, there's a few places where I would like to have the stop signs reevaluated from a pedestrian perspective. So as mentioned, the scooters are a great way to do that. So I plan on going through the city with a scooter to get some of the pedestrian experience. And I would recommend all of us to do so. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. You know, council member, on that same note, if you work on that, can you get us that information as far as working with the security systems? That's something I've been looking into with our Ring doorbells. I know there's some programs out there that works with the law enforcement community and some different communities, and maybe there's funding available or grants that we could, especially in underserved communities where there might be some public safety challenges, where we could get some of those Ring doorbells, because they do assist in a lot of prevention. I'd rather have preventative measures than responding, you know. So I appreciate that. And we'll move on to Councilmember Pena.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Chairman, I should say. Also at the conference, I happened to talk to somebody who has a company, and I believe it's Shot Spotter. It's a noise monitoring system where they can pick up gunshots, and they triangulate, and they can help police departments respond quickly. I can get some of the information to staff, and maybe we can take a look at that on a regional basis. I know there's a couple of cities in Riverside County that are using it currently. Maybe we can find out how they're doing it and what their experiences are. But I wanted to bring that up as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, please, if you get us that information, let's get it to staff and so we can look at it. You know, and you mentioned the conference, and we had a small discussion earlier about how, you know, the Coachella Valley is 9 cities. However, we're one big city. So looking at some of these strategies on a regional basis, I think is important. You know, so if you get that information to us, it'd be greatly appreciated.
Exactly. And that's what I was thinking. It's looking at it on a regional basis rather than a city by city basis too. So that would be good.
Great. And I'll move on to Supervisor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just very quickly, just want to say thank you to our firefighters that have been on an ongoing basis, making sure that we're protected as frontline efforts are taking place, especially over the course of these last few days, as you know, starting last week. You know, they're fairly busy. It's fire season. It's happening throughout the state of California. But fortunately, you know, there's a level of collaboration, cooperation throughout our firefighters throughout the state. And eventually that's the reason why we're able to contain those fires. With that said, I also want to just say thank you to our emergency services efforts, because as that fire was taking place, for example, we had the winds, and it was interesting how we had this this two-prong approach of natural disasters, where you had the fires and you had the high winds, and the high winds had a major impact all the time with our residents in the East End, specifically in North Shore, Thermal, Mecca area, where we have the power outages. And even though our County of Riverside firefighters, frontline public safety efforts, emergency services are stretched thin, they figured out a way to make things work. And, you know, we did what we could to evacuate people. We did what we could to help support the folks out in North Shore. The thermal area, there's always more we can do. It's never enough until we finally figure out what we're going to do with those power lines, with IID. Unfortunately, that's the other side of this puzzle. But I do think that it's important that we recognize our emergency services, and not only them, but the nonprofit organizations that step up. You know, it's a nonprofit organizations that always step up as well, like the Red Cross or the Galilee Center. Fine food bank, you name it, you know, and then even private entities step up, and our tribal governments step up. So I think it's important that we recognize them as well. And one last point that Pat, who is my liaison when it comes to public safety, she mentioned that I guess it was a few firefighters that were on a helicopter. It was a helicopter crash you might have heard about. And Banning Beaumont area, it's amazing to me, but they all survived. Unfortunately, they did crash, but fortunately, with God's will, they'll be okay, and they did survive that crash. So just wanted to bring those different efforts, if you will, or I guess experiences or incidents that actually took place to your attention. And thank you for your indulgence.
Great. Thank you, Supervisor. And I'm actually going to piggyback off that with my comments. I don't see any further hands raised. I just wanted to give some update that I got from the Radford fire. It's been burning for 5 days. That's in San Bernardino County. And there were zero structures destroyed and zero structures damaged. And those are because of the efforts of our firefighters. So, you know, that was a report I received from the Cal Fire page this morning, and also the Fairview fire incident, which was 28,307 acres, and it's 53% contained as of this morning. It's been burning for 6 days, and that is in our county, Riverside County. And so there was six structures damaged, 35 structures destroyed, one injury to fire personnel and a civilian, and two fatalities. You know, that's pretty big fire that we got going on there. But like the supervisor said, you know, our folks step up, and usually when we have something happen, you know, our first responders, our nonprofits, and our folks step up, and that's what makes this place a great community. So we appreciate all those efforts from everyone and those fires. And I want to talk about a couple other things that I've been noticing in our city. You know, this is a CVAG, and we tackle a whole plethora of issues, and especially infrastructure. And infrastructure is big in our communities, especially some of our communities that we didn't have those dollars where we could, you know, really, you know, the upkeep and, you know, maintenance of our infrastructure was a challenge. And so there's a new culture. It's not new, but it's coming back around. You know, some of us might remember the street races and the sideshows in some of our communities. So if you're driving through some of the intersections, you might see some donuts and things going around. So unlike the metropolitan cities, we don't have the big crowds, fortunately, but we do have a certain population who have their sports cars and they like to drag race and do donuts in some of our intersections. Well, that's, you know, it's a big issue. And I think as far as educational and why it's dangerous, we need to get out there. But it's also a domino effect. You know, we're spending taxpayer dollars to keep our infrastructure up, and we have to take care of it, you know. And so we need to get that out to the community. So I'm actually looking at some different ordinances in our city, and which I'll share with staff as far as enforcement. But before we enforce, I like to educate, you know, and get out there. So when we're talking, you know, in our respective cities and we're talking to young adults and kids, we need to, you know, really talk about the dangers of street racing and sideshows is what they call it in our intersections, because it's dangerous. We've had some fatalities of civilians in some of our cities, of folks just walking on the sidewalk and people losing control of their cars and speeding. So I think we need to also keep that on the forefront when we talk about traffic. And also something I'm noticing when I got back into the city from the conference, some of our underpasses and our areas where we have our tamarisk trees, you know, I know this is public safety, but I believe homelessness and public safety sometimes go hand in hand. And I'm going to ask staff, you know, I don't know who's going to be chairing these committees in the future, but to have a joint meeting so we could talk about some of the challenges we're facing as far as public safety and homelessness, because sometimes when folks are out there unsheltered, there's criminal activity that's happening. And what folks sometimes don't understand, it's not against the law to be homeless, but some of the activities that happen are against the law. So I think we need to look at that from a regional basis as well. You know, we're spending a lot of dollars on our CV link, and I've seen some graffiti on some of our work that has been completed. So I was very upset about that. However, you know, I'm going to get out there and talk to folks. I'm going to talk to our quality of life teams and put the word out there that, you know, plain and simple, it's not going to be tolerated. You know, so we need to have these conversations here at the policy level and start educating folks on what we're trying to do here. You know, it's from Mecca Thermal all the way to Desert Hot Springs, what we're trying to do to our community. And we need help. It's your community. We got to take care of it. So that's my two cents. I'm going to get off my soapbox because that's one of my beautification is one thing that bothers me, because, you know, growing up in some of these communities that were underserved, we didn't have that. And now we're working on that from a infrastructure standpoint, a public safety standpoint. And so we need to keep that up. So those are discussions that we need to continue to have in our communities. So I'll ask if anyone has any further comments. If not, we can move on. Okay, well, don't see any further hands raised. So we'll move on to item number 6, which is ex officio updates. And we do have ex officio updates. We actually have Palm Springs new acting police chief, Mr. Chief Loya, on. If he'd like to come on and introduce himself and say hello to the committee.
We do have the police chief as well as the fire chief. This is Palm Springs new, that's all right, interim fire chief.
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Good morning, chief.
Sorry, I was just in the transition of jumping on in here. So, yeah, my name is Jason Loya. I'm currently acting fire chief for Palm Springs Fire Department. Pleasure to be here. Been with the department for over 21 years and a resident of City of La Quinta. So just look forward to continue my service. Currently work as a deputy fire chief here for the department. So any questions you may have, feel free to send them my way. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Chief, and welcome. You know, we have a lot of houses for sale in Indio. Just a thought, you know, if you. So, I don't see any questions for the chief, but we also have, Chief Mills on, who will be doing a presentation, but we do have an item before Chief Mills. So, what I'll do is, move on to item number 7, which is approval of the June 13th, 2022 Public Safety Committee meeting minutes. And we also have item B, which is approval for August 8th, 2022 Public Safety Committee special meeting. So I, Councilmember Catania, you have a hand up?
Yes, I would like to move to approve section A, but I would like to pull B for a quick update.
Okay. So what we'll do is, can we take that update first before we move forward?
Absolutely. In the update in section, looking at the minutes on law enforcement, it says that no action was taken. And I recall at the end, in regards to my request for data and how to take a regional approach, I believe that our chair also asked staff to follow up on that as a data item.
Chair, we can, if at the will of the committee, we can amend. Typically, that is CVAG term for no vote was taken. Certainly, there the sentence above talks about additional information, which is actually provided in your packet today. But if you'd like to request more clarity in the minutes, we can certainly do so with a motion, and we'll provide that before the minutes are finalized.
I think if there is no objection from the rest of the group, given the content of the conversation and the severity of what we were discussing in terms of public safety and our children, I think that discussion on what kind of data we were requesting in terms of being proactive and what kind of interventions we could have that are locally. So I think that for any committees in the future that would like to go back to the minutes, I think that's a vital portion to include.
Okay, well, I think we could go back and we could certainly add that data, correct, Erica?
Yes, Chair. If the maker of the motion just wants to make a motion with an amendment for additional detail on for item 7B, and then if there's a second, the committee can vote.
I make a movement to approve the minutes with the amendment of section 7A to add the request for additional data in regards to regional approaches.
Second the motion.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor by Councilmember Catania, a second by Sanders. Could I have a raise hand and aye, if you aye. Any nays? Any abstentions?
Abstention, I was not present at that meeting.
Okay. We have one abstention, the motion passes. So we'll get that information. All right. So now we'll move on to item number 8, which is a discussion and action item. And it's a presentation, research-based policing in the city of Palm Springs. And this will be handled by our police chief in Palm Springs, Chief Mills. Welcome, Chief.
Well, good morning, everybody. And Chair Furman, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and speak. And Erica was very helpful in setting this up and inviting me to come and share a little bit about what we're doing in Palm Springs. So just to set this up and to help everybody understand what we're doing, community policing has been around for a long time, and this is going to be nothing new under the sun kind of thought process. But I think what you're going to find is that we're trying to take a very strategic approach to what we're doing, and that hopefully you'll be able to see from what I'm presenting that the city of Palm Springs is focused on trying to resolve recalcitrant problems in the best way we possibly can using data and community collaboration. And I don't know if I can forward this or not. Erica, can you move it forward for me? So policing has changed since 1952 when I first started. That was a joke. I'm not quite that old, but I've been around a day or two. You know, the picture in the top, that was Palm Springs PD in 1952. And since then, even since the late 70s when I started, the technological improvements have been just breathtaking. From portable radios to computers in our cars to how we handle things in the field. The education and caliber of the personnel has increased substantially, in my opinion, having watched this for over four decades. We have smart people. We have people with PhDs here in the building and a lot of people with master's degrees. I couldn't be happier with the amount of quality of personnel that we have. We've also focused on evidence-based research to guide what we're doing. Because over the years, you know, many of us have just been, well, this seems right, but sometimes what seems right can't be verified through data and research. So we really want to make sure that we're what we're doing is actually effective and not just efficient. And then the technological expertise in science has just exploded, you know, with our crime scene, our ability to investigate crime scenes and understand problems. But let me ask a question. Are we better at understanding how to fight crime than we were in 1952? And what we want to do here in Palm Springs is determine what our strategy is to fight crime so that when we are fighting crime, we can say with a surety that we're being effective. And that is what we're focused on here to move forward. If you'd advance, please. So the whole idea of holistic governance and neighborhood policing is this. Holistic governance is the co-production of public safety with the community to improve quality of life. Neighborhood policing is the strategy to control crime through problem solving and leveraging city services and stakeholders as collaborators. So what this means for us is that there needs to be a unified approach from all of city services. And I'm happy to report that my colleagues in the city, under the leadership of council, has been very understanding of how we can work together to promulgate public safety and to improve quality of life. And that's critically important because, let's face it, if the police are involved, it's because things went bad. And we know that we are not the solution. We are part of the solution. If you advance, please. On the last slide, just let me comment on one thing. So there's three levels of community policing, if you will. The first one is just public relations. You'll see that on Facebook, Coffee with the Cop, Bike Patrols Downtown. Those are building the relationship with the community. That's important. The second level is decentralized decision making. We're trying to push the authority of making decisions down to the level of the in the field where people are closest to the problem. We take the responsibility at the top, but they take the authority at the field level. And then the final peak of the pyramid, if you will, is problem solving. And you can learn more about this. I don't have time to go into all of it today, but at problem.org/PopCenter.org, PopCenter.org. And you'll find a lot, a great deal of information at that location. So what we wanted to do is introduce this process to our city. We want to learn what the community sees as their geographic policing priorities. Because even in a moderate-sized city like Palm Springs, the priorities from the northern end of the city to the southern end of the city are completely different. And so we wanted to get a sense of what they saw as their priorities in their neighborhoods. We wanted to define the police mission with the community because we serve our community members. And so we really wanted to understand what their mission was and how we could collaborate with them. And then structure the department strategically, analyze and solve neighborhood problems. We want to be tenacious with this because too often policing, we're so busy running from call to call that we don't take a few seconds to stand back, take a look at what the issues are and figure out how we can solve those problems. And then we want to have a mechanism of accountability where we're reporting out to the executive staff so I can report back to council and say, here's what we're working on. Here's how effective we have or have not been. We can learn from our mistakes, readjust and move on. Now, for those of you who are a little bit aware of policing, this is not a comp stat model. Like NYPD, where the you come into the star chambers and get yelled at for having a crime in your neighborhood. That's not what we do here. What we do is we sit down and say, how can we help? What resources do you need so that I can go back to the just policymakers and say, hey, I need help in this area, getting resources. And up to this point, I've heard not one no from anybody on council because we're moving forward together. If you'd advance, please. So we held a series of 7 community meetings and used the nominal group technique to facilitate those meetings. And the reason we did that is we wanted broad community involvement where everybody has a voice. And you all have been to community meetings before. And I'm preaching to the choir here. What happens at the community meetings? Well, one person gets the mic and they won't relinquish that mic and everybody else is heading for the door. So we didn't want to have that problem. We didn't want to have one person dominate. What we want to do is get something done. So you have to give people something to do that's constructive, that's helpful, that's beneficial. And that's exactly what happened. So we asked our community to narrowly tailor tasks to the top 3 crimes in their neighborhood. And so we could determine the geographic policing priorities. And so we had a clear understanding of what we needed to address in each part of the city. If you'd advance, please. So how we did it is 5 flip charts. We had a flip chart with violent crime, another flip chart with property crime, another with traffic complaints, quality of life, and miscellaneous. And then we gave everybody little sticky notes. And they could write on those sticky notes and place them on the appropriate flip chart what their concerns were. For instance, some might be very concerned about domestic violence as their number one priority. The red, as you can see, was the number one priority. Theft of catalytic converters might be their second highest priority. And then third priority might be gun violence. And what we wanted to do is use this data to help us determine what those priorities are. So people were busy for probably a half hour talking with their neighbors, interacting, finding out what their priorities are, and then putting the sticky notes on the appropriate slide, on the appropriate flip chart. We took all that data, crunched it together to determine what those priorities are. And then we determined those top 3 crime priorities by neighborhood. Red is most serious, yellow is still very serious, and then green were serious and they wanted solutions to. And then they placed them on the appropriate flip chart. And then they pinpointed and prioritized those for us. If you could move forward, please. So from a data perspective, we could chart this out. This is a sample of one of the meetings. We did it by council district, but so we tried to convert that into the 3 parts of the city that we're policing. I'll explain that in a second. And so what you can see in Council District 1, gun violence and property crimes were their 2 top priorities. Council District 2 is quality of life and property crimes. Council District 3 was property crimes and quality of life and so on. And what we're able to do now is define those based on what was put on those sticky notes as to what exactly the people wanted us to address. And that way we're policing, again, from their perspective. If you advance, please. So we divided each of the areas of the city by our lieutenants. So now the lieutenant is the de facto chief of police in their area of the city. So Dr. Frank Browning has the northern part of the city with council member Gardner. He is responsible for abating crime based on priority in that community. And then Hutch is the center part of the city. Mike Vegas is the southern part of the city. And then Gus Ariza is the support mechanism for all 3. And then Eric has the investigations where he takes a look at specialized crimes that pop up on our standard deviation chart. So, for instance, one of the things that's popping up right now is we're having a heck of a problem with motorcycle theft. Eric is already on top of that, analyzing why that is taking place and what we can do about it. Go ahead and advance. Now, here's the caveat. There will always be more good ideas than there's capacity to execute. And I'm just going to temper this for my colleagues with the elected officials here. We get calls regularly. There's a homeless person that walk and don't walk. There's a problem with litter at this location. if the police are focused on everything, they're very unlikely to solve problems. Question is, do we really want to try to solve these problems, or do we want to just respond to them? I'm here to try to solve problems. And I'll give you an example of how we're doing that here in a second. So I know that's difficult when you have community members banging on your door all night long, saying, what about this? But what we really need to do is be laser focused on these little bit more macro problems and still respond to the smaller ones, but in the appropriate timing. Please advance. So Operation Clean Streets is the project by William Hutchison. It's downtown. And our analysis was there's high calls for service and petty crimes committed by a small group of individuals, mostly homeless individuals in downtown Palm Springs. Gaining cooperation from the suspects is very difficult because we lack leverage. We lack mental health services and drug addiction. And to be very frank, some, not all, but some don't want our help. I have personally talked to numerous individuals down there and said, how can I help? And their response was, I don't want your help. So somehow our goal, our analysis, our hypothesis, if you will, is that we have to create leverage. There's a whole theory of policing called leverage deterrence. We can offer resources, and we are on each of these sweeps that we're doing, operations that we're doing, and it's an either-or proposition. We're begging you, take these services. If you don't, we're going to take you to jail. And the difficult part is it's hard to get them in jail, and it's certainly harder to even keep them there. You know, the sheriff is under a federal mandate to keep the levels at the jail at a certain level. We're working with him. We're working with the DA's office and our city attorney to figure out what we can do to create that leverage. And for right now, if you are committing crime downtown, we have a policy where we want you to accept help. If you don't, then you're going to go to jail. And looking on the right, you'll see those gauges. That's how we're looking at crime here in the city. That's based on standard deviation. So what we do is take a 5-year look at the crime to determine, are we getting better or worse? So the further the needle is to the left, that's good. The further the needle is to the right, that's bad. And because you're looking at it from a longer term perspective, because if you look at it from a monthly or a yearly perspective, it looks like an EKG. It just bounces up and down and you really can't make heads or tails of it. So what we're trying to say and trying to do here is impact these gauges and let them lower so that we can determine, are we doing better or worse? If you advance, please. We want people to understand that it's a compassionate presence, and we want deep resource allocation. That's why involvement of the county in the state is so important for what we do. But what we're finding is there's large numbers of parolees and probationers because of state release in our cities that are creating havoc. We're arresting people for burglary, putting them in jail, and they're right back out. So again, how do we hold them accountable? And then we also want to reassure people, we are not citing people for camping. That is against the law. If there's not adequate space for them to sleep, what we're doing is, we are looking at other crimes not associated with camping. The guy in the top left picture was the guy who threw a brick through Starbucks window twice. He went to jail. And so we're working very hard on holding the top problem people accountable, getting resources for the other. And that's the theory behind this. If you advance, please. One of the other things we did is I want the command staff involved in this. And so all of us went up to Desert Highlands Gateway Estates as a group and went door to door and handed out surveys, talked to the community, asked them how we could help, get their impressions, because a lot of times people don't want to talk in a public meeting. So we went to their door to door. The question is, how do we get better? And what resources do we need? Now, the monthly accountability briefings, and we're having our first one on Wednesday. They will come in, the commanders will come in, sit down, explain from a data perspective what they've accomplished, what they're working on, what their hypothesis is, and we will help them adjust it from there. Like, for instance, the guy in the front picture, Mike Villegas, has the southern part of the city, and theft from homes and vehicles is his number one priority in the southern part of the city. How's he reducing that opportunity? Because we know that 80% of crime, especially theft, is opportunistic. So how's he reducing the opportunity will be the biggest question for him. And that's where our focus is. If you'd advance, please. One of our other goals is when a cop goes 10-8 at the beginning of the shift, we want each of them to know what they're responsible for in that 10-hour day. When they push the button on their ignition and their car fires up, a lot of times they'll go out and just kind of wait for calls to take place. I want them to be focused and understand what they need to do and what they need to get accomplished by area of the city. If you're working the southern part of the city, during that day, you should be doing something that helps reduce theft from motor vehicles. And their lieutenants need to be communicating with them on what they should be doing and then measuring that to make sure that we're all on the same page and working together. That's my presentation. I apologize for the length, but I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. No apologies needed. I mean, excellent presentation, excellent work, and that looks like a great model. Before I even start, I'll open it up to the rest of the committee because I know there's some questions. I'll start with Councilmember Smotrich.
Hi there, and thank you so much for that wonderful presentation. Not too lengthy, very informative, and much appreciated. And I found it very interesting that your group went door to door. Can you please tell us what kind of reaction you got from the residents? Did they give you any tips? Did they reveal anything that they would not normally reveal if they had to come in person or in a public meeting?
Sure, council member. First of all, you know, it's a predominantly African-American community, and one would be led to believe that there's so much animosity between the Black community and the police that people would not want us there. Probably 90% of the people opened their doors, welcomed us in, told us that we were needed and wanted, and that they would be willing to do anything they can to help improve their neighborhood. They certainly wanted to see it from a perspective of preventing crime rather than just arresting people, but they also, many told us, that they wanted people arrested who are committing acts of violence, and did point us in the right direction of some of the folks that were committing acts of violence.
Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks for the question. I'll move on to Supervisor Perez.
Yeah, once again, thank you for the presentation, Chief. That was great, especially all the different strategies that you're deploying. It's, you know, your job today, the job of police officers, just public safety overall, it's very, very difficult. But it takes an individual like yourself to create a culture, to create a different type of leadership in which people understand that collaboration is necessary. And the fact that you stated that and deploying all these different strategies, ultimately, my understanding about community policing is the goal is to create trust. And if you're able to create trust with the community, you're going to go a lot further with the community. And there's going to be much more discussion, much more communication, much more will by the community to work with you. So I definitely appreciate that. And I guess with that said, I have two questions for you, and you know, you don't need to answer them right now because maybe it requires some time to think through all this. But one is, do we actually have a regional approach to community policing? Meaning, let's say throughout the Coachella Valley, has this type of discussion taken place within all the jurisdictions, whether that be with our sheriff's department or whether that be with, you know, Indio Police Department and others? I just want to get your thoughts on that and what's been said about that. And I guess, what is your gut, your thoughts on gang injections? Do they actually work? You know, those are always very controversial. Those are always very difficult. I have a tough time with them, although, you know, sometimes I understand that they're needed. But I'm just wondering, what's your opinion, since you are a professional in these efforts? This is what you do day in and day out. Just wanted to get your thoughts. Thank you.
You bet. First of all, Supervisor Perez, thanks for those questions and your comments and your thoughtfulness and how you approach this. I think that community policing and problem solving is done throughout the valley in a lot of departments, and I appreciate what they do. I mean, I watch them on social media, and I see things like Coffee with the Cop and so forth. So I think that everybody is trying in their own way on how they do this. I don't know to what extent there's collaboration in terms of a countywide or a Coachella Valley-wide approach to community policing. There's a lot of issues on the table, so I'm not sure that different philosophies, to be frank, of policing. And that's okay. I'm not saying I'm the only guy on the planet that has the solutions to crime problems. So countywide approach, I'm not too sure. Gang injunctions, you know, I ran the gang unit in San Diego for almost 5 years. And gang injunctions were a strategy that was used as part of policing. I think the idea behind gang injunctions can be good from the perspective of you need to get groups to calm down and to ice them a little bit. So when you're having a tit for tat shooting war between two gang sets, you have to do something to get that to calm down. Now, the question is that the right thing to do and how long to keep it? I think one of the problems with gang injunctions is we've kept them for too long. So you put that gang injunction on, and how long should that gang injunction go? Is it 6 months to get things to calm down, or is it a decade? Because telling people they can't associate with one another for a long period of time, I think could be unjust. And so we want to make sure that we get that right. It's in criminology, it's called the dosage. What kind of dosage do you want for the prescription? And if gang injunction is the way you decide to go. So they can be useful, but I think it would have to be under a very prescribed situation. There's other opportunities to reduce gang violence, one of which is you focus on the shot callers and shooters. Not all gang members are the shooters. You know, when I was in San Diego, we had Skyline Piru with almost 575, I believe, at one count, gang members. Oh my gosh, if all of those were shooters and shot callers, there'd be a mass chaos in the city. You have a pretty small meeting or a pretty small group of people who are the shot callers and shooters. If you take them out, put them in jail, give them the time out, that sends a message to the rest of the group. So there's different strategies to go after those problems and cut the head off the snake, if you will.
Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Chief. You know what? Before I move on to Councilmember Pena, I just want to add a couple of things. Staff, can we add gang injunctions to a future meeting? I think that's a discussion we could have that we could go in depth with. And also, Boise versus Martin. I know it was on his presentation, and that's something I think that our electeds, you know, it would do a benefit if we were updated on what Boise versus Martin actually is and what we can and cannot do under that law. That's something I've been studying and learning a lot about, and I think it would be beneficial to have something on that. So I appreciate the questions by the supervisor. Those are very good questions that we need to have in discussions. And I'll move on to Councilmember Pena.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Chief, that was an excellent presentation, very informative. And I know that you've been very open, even giving out your personal phone number to this committee when you came on board. So I really appreciate your openness and being able to respond to community concerns. A question, I know that you have your command staff that takes various parts of the city. Do you also deploy your police officers in certain parts of those cities, So they get to understand and know the people, know the issues in various communities.
That's a good question, John. And we're certainly assigned by beats. It's a beat system that almost every police department has, because you have to work a certain area of the city to know where you're, who's going to get dispatched to certain calls. I mean, the theory in community policing is to keep them there as long as possible so that they can get to know people. You know, and I can remember taking the attorney general from Sweden on a ride along when I was a patrol officer. And I, my section of the city was about 70,000 people. And, you know, in her mind, it was, well, you know all these people, right? And you can't know all the people. And so what we're really focused on is exemplary service. That's our new motto that the community gave us, is that we want to provide the best service we possibly can when we're providing it at the time we're providing it. It's unrealistic for me to tell my officers who work, you know, scattered all over the day, 24 hours a day, obviously, to know everybody in their beat or their service area. You're working at 9 at night to 7 in the morning. 99% of the people are sleeping while you're working. So you're not going to have an opportunity to know who they are. But when we do interact, I want them to give the best service we possibly can. Take a little bit of time, slow things down, talk with people. And because if they're calling us, it's probably the worst day of their life. And so we want to make sure that we're treating them appropriately.
Great. Thank you. And before I move on, I like to move on. Well, her hand is raised up. So Mayor Pro Tem, I'd like to hear your perspective. I know you're boots on the ground, a council member, and you're out there in the community. What are you hearing, or from a policy standpoint, how does this look on your city?
Thank you. And thank you, Chief, for that presentation. It's since Chief Mills joined our department, it's been absolutely incredible. We've seen such a shift in how our officers are speaking with the community members, in the type of proactive measures that are being taken, like you just heard about. And people are really responding well to it. There's still a long way to go in terms of really connecting with all of the different communities, especially in District 1, which is our most diverse district. But the chief and the officers are really committed to making that happen. And so, you know, I sit down with officers and the chief all the time, and we talk about the issues that I'm hearing. We dig into specific incidents that happen in the community and say, why did it happen this way? Let's look at, you know, the footage. Let's talk about how we can improve and when we're interacting and understanding the complexities for different groups, right? If you're Black, if you're Latino, you know, what are your responses going to be to the police that might be different than an older white resident, for instance? And so I'm really happy to see that we are making progress there. And on my side of things with the council, you know, we've allocated funds for workforce development, for more teen programs, because we know that there's also a lot of crime committed by young people. So we need to be able to support our young people in that prevention aspect, right? We don't want them to go down that path of committing crimes. So I feel really good about the partnership that the city has with the police department, in that, you know, we're working on the social side of things. We're trying to make sure that we're investing in our community, investing in our kids, and the chief is and the officers are doing that as well. But they're, of course, their main focus is on their day-to-day tasks, of whether that it has to be arrests or responding to those calls. So I feel like it's a really good collaboration, and we're making incredible progress. So I really thank the chief for his leadership.
Great. Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. I'll be brief, and I want to thank the chief for this presentation. You know, when you go door to door and you're talking to folks and interacting with folks, it really builds that confidence. And the reason why I say that is that our country went through such a difficult moment. And I think every generation has these difficult moments. But coming in, and I also want to recognize Chief Brian Reyes, who did an excellent job, who retired from Palm Springs, who had a tough task. I mean, he lost two officers. He went through a tough time with, you know, the George Floyd incident and a lot of discussions that needed to be had. So when you have a new chief that comes in and has to pick up the baton and bring the morale up from losing two partners and deal with social issues in a community. That's a tough task. It's a tough task. And Chief Mills is known throughout our country for his police work. And he won't say it, but I will. You know, we heard some great things about him at our League of Cities meeting over the weekend. So I have to commend Chief Mills. And I also want to commend the rest of our law enforcement community in the Valley. There's a lot of good efforts going on. And like I said, we're coming out of a tough period. But you know what? I'm very optimistic. I see a lot of great things going on. And so hats off to all of our chiefs, all of our guys and gals out there who are working right now to keep us safe. I mean, we have holidays and we have folks working the holidays nonstop without questions asked, sometimes being ordered over, away from their families because of mandatory overtime, because our numbers are down for a certain reason or another. So hats off to everyone. And I want to make a request to the supervisor, since he's here, something that I wanted to do is have another discussion, whether it's at the college or wherever we could hold it. I remember a couple of years back, we had a discussion with probation, and I know we have probation on now, but it was a great discussion that we had. And I'd like to do something like that again with all of our police chiefs as leading the discussion, and our policymakers listening and seeing what those needs and wants are, and then where do we collaborate, and then what's the next steps. Sometimes I heard a quote, advocacy leads us to greatness, and I believe that's possible. Let me see, I think I'm going out a little bit. I'm sorry, may have froze, but I was saying that I believe advocacy leads us to greatness, and I think collaborating with our community, our electeds, our nonprofits, I think we keep this discussion, and it's a positive discussion. These are positive things that are happening. It's a data-driven approach that's happening in Palm Springs, and this is another mechanism we could use throughout the Coachella Valley. It's a model, you know, and like the chief said, there's a lot of great things going on out there, but this is something that we're seeing that's working. So maybe we could work with the supervisor's office of doing that again. So I think that was great.
Most definitely, Ms. Chair, and I know that we're coming upon 10 a.m. here, but so we did have one that was live, right? And that was the adult, and that's the one you attended and a few others attended. And then that was at the Cal State Palm Desert campus, San Bernardino Palm Desert campus. And then we had the next one because of COVID, virtual. It was just as good in the sense of the content, but because we weren't physically all present, it was, you know, it just doesn't feel as effective, I guess you can say. But nonetheless, though, we have been having those discussions here inside the office, and we will like to continue those type of discussions. And so maybe through this public safety committee, rather than this being organized through my office, we can all work on collaborating and organizing such a conference moving forward. And with that being said, thank you, Grace. You did an excellent job out there in Palm Springs. I think what I'm seeing out there is the model. I'm not saying that it's not happening everywhere throughout the Coachella Valley or throughout Riverside County, but I definitely see it as a model. And one of the points to all this, as I mentioned earlier, was to create, we have to create trust, but at the same time, we have to reinvigorate the community. And the way we reinvigorate the community is not by only leaning on our public safety personnel. We have to lean on policymakers. We have to lean on nonprofit organizations. We have to lean on entities that are going to help us, private entities for that matter. They're going to help us with workforce development and maybe provide some funding resources so that we can place individuals that are reentering society into positions. You know, I think that's the other piece of the puzzle, and potentially maybe that's what we can discuss at this conference. I'll get off on that note there. Thank you.
You're right, Supervisor. And some of those things are in place. I think we just need to find out where those resources are. I know I've been bouncing around with, our probation department, our juvenile hall, and some of the other entities we have out there. So bringing those folks all together in one form and then creating this mechanism, how we could do that is a great idea. So we'll work with staff and we'll work with the supervisor's office and the public sector as well, because we're going to need some sponsorships for that. And I love to do it. So thank you, Chief Mills. And staff, I'd like to, our next item is public safety concerns related to Mylar balloons. If I could continue that to a next meeting, if possible, do I need a motion to do that?
Yes, you should take a motion.
So moved. Please.
I second.
Okay, so I have a first and second to move our item B, public safety concerns related to Mylar balloons, to our next public safety meeting. Can I get a vote, please? Say aye. Okay, looks like the motion passes. Thank you. So now we'll move on to item C, which is election of public safety committee officers. And I think staff ahead that one.
Yes, thank you, Chair, members of the committee. Good morning to all of you. This is for those of you who serve on multiple CVAG committees, the annual September ritual where we open it up for the floor for nominations for both your chair and your vice chair. Your current chair is Mayor Furman. Your vice chair is Council Member Bima Nacinto out of Coachella. So with that, I will open up the floor for any nominees.
Erica, quick question. It's my understanding that Megan is not running for council, so she will not be here next year.
That is correct.
I nominate our chair to continue another year of excellent service. Thank you for what you've done, Chair.
I would second that.
We have a... Can I do that motion, or is it...
Is there any other nominees for chair? Seeing none, we have a motion and a second on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, moving on to vice chair.
If there's no one else, I would gladly volunteer to be vice chair.
I second that. Good job, Ben.
Well, we have a motion. Volunteer by Gregory and the second by Supervisor Perez. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays or abstentions? No? Well, I guess it's Wayman and Raymond for next year. We appreciate it. I do. I love this committee. We've done some great things. And, you know, the job's never over. So you got us for one more year. So thank you for your support. I appreciate it.
Congratulations to you both. And to us for having your desire to work again.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You know, it's the last couple of days going to work, you know, putting on my uniform, being able to serve our community in two different capacities, and also letting folks lead these discussions. I've been in law enforcement for 23 years, but I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers. So working with this committee has been great. I've learned a lot and looking forward to another year. So
next year, you're going to know it all.
So our next item is just information, stuff that's in your packet. It's attendance record, feedback from virtual meetings, and also additional information from the Coachella Valley's response and readiness to active shooter situations. And item number 10 is public items on non-agenda items. Do we have any comments, staff?
Chair, I do not see any hands raised. And just for the record, Mr. Anderson had left before the items came up, which is the reason we did not call him up for public comment earlier.
Comment. And I want to just make a comment about that. Typically, we want to stay on par in the agenda. That's why we have it, and we have a lot of folks. But, you know, I think when we're dealing with law enforcement and police, and I want to make sure and ensure the public knows that we're being transparent. And if folks have questions, comments, or concerns, you know, we're an open book. So that's why I deviated a little bit. However, Mr. Anderson hung up. So, but we'll be here for the next meeting. So the next item is this announcement. So our next public safety committee meeting is Monday, November 14th. That'll also be Zoom at 9 a.m. Our next executive committee meeting is Monday, September 26th at 4:30. That'd be Zoom. And before we conclude or adjourn, I should say, I just wanted to say October 4th, the city of Indio will be having this national night out. I don't know if any other cities are doing that. So please come out, interact with your police departments, your sheriff's department. understand what they go through on a regular basis and understand how you can help and collaborate with them, especially in those community policing efforts and solving some of the crimes that we have going on. And remember that the job's never over. So that's why we're here. So the time is 10:06 and this meeting is adjourned.
Stay healthy.